This is Voices of Our World. I'm your host, Eileen Bott. Peace and reconciliation must start with dialogue. We continue listening to the powerful experiences of those who have joined the Parents Circle Families Forum in Israel and Palestine. In order to further the message of peace and reconciliation, the Parents Circle Families Forum sends its members, bereaved Palestinians and Israelis, to schools in Israel and Palestine. They tell their story, how a loved one died and why they've come. For many students on both sides, it is the first conversation with someone that they have perceived to be their enemy. Each year, Ofra Shamir asks the Parents Circle to send representatives to the Vitzo High School in Haifa, where she works. She believes that it is important that 12th graders be exposed to the stories and realities of the other side. All assembled would soon have to fulfill Israel's mandatory army service. So Eleanor Ostrinsky went to that lecture and open discussion and met one of the presenters, Faisal Sara. He declined an interview, but recommended his brother Aziz, a strong English speaker. Aziz Abu Sara is no stranger to a microphone. He is the co-producer of a weekly show featuring members of the Bereaved Family Forum, which airs on the web radio station allforpeace.org. In Aziz's East Jerusalem home, with a chirping bird, Eleanor Ostrinsky found out what happened to his brother.
I was born in Jerusalem, grew up in Bethany, and it was the time of the conflict starting to arise, the first intifada. Then later on, when I was 9 years old, about 5 a.m, a group of soldiers came to our house, and they decided to investigate us, me and my four brothers at that time. And we all were in the same room, checked a few questions. Then they decided that my older brother, Taysir, they wanted to take him for investigation. He was 18 years old then. So he left with them, and for 15 days we were unable to know what's happening, where is he. They gave us zero information. The law was then that for the first 18 days, and I don't know if it's the same now, for the first 18 days you don't have any information. It's a secret investigation. After 18 days, we figured out that he was held in prison because he was suspected of throwing stones. So we put a lawyer, and he was sentenced for a year. We were able to visit him 3 times. In less than a year, he came out of prison. But he was in a very bad health condition. He shared that through the investigation time, he was beaten, so he would confess that he's done whatever they believed he has done. So we took him right away to the hospital in the Mount of Olives, and he did the surgery right away. His liver stopped working, other complications. In about 2-3 weeks, he passed away. He was 19 then, I was 10 years old, and he was a brother that's just older than me, so you can imagine. He was a person that I looked up to the most, I was closer to the most, and we even shared the same bed, actually. I was 10 years old and trying to figure out how to deal with this information. My brother got killed, but it wasn't for a normal reason. It wasn't that he got sick and died. It was someone's responsible for it. And I knew who was responsible for it. And I decided that it's my duty to do something for him then. But it wasn't peace and love and all these nice things. I totally thought of the opposite. I thought that if someone hurts you, you should hurt them back. If someone does something against you, you should go and do something against them. So I grew up just thinking, how could I find a way to avenge my brother's death? How can I find a way to let the people who made him suffer, suffer as well? When I was 16, it was hard for me to get my identity card, because we lived in Bethany, and they said, if you live in Bethany, you're not allowed to come into Jerusalem. So we moved back to Jerusalem, even though we lived right by a settlement, and the settlers were allowed to go there, but we weren't. So we left our house, which still stays in Bethany, and we rent a house in Jerusalem. And I decided to get more involved into the political movements around. So I started writing for a youth magazine. And in my writing, I found a way that I can avenge safely. So I write every week at least 2-3 articles, and they weren't any peace-loving. They're all angry and bitter. But after a while, you kind of start thinking, what am I doing and how I'm feeling? And, you know, a few times you lie to yourself and you say, yeah, that's the only thing I can do. But after I start realizing that the more I'm doing this, the more angry from within I become, the more bitter from within I become, and that is just hurting me more than anyone else. So I decided that I don't want to do this anymore. I decided I don't want to live here anymore too. This is a bad place to live in, and it's better if I move away and just never come back. So I finished high school and tried to get out of the country, but it never worked out. I was denied visas to everywhere I applied to, which didn't sound right because I got a very good grades in high school, but I understood then that if I live in Jerusalem, I'll need to learn Hebrew, because up until I was 18, I spoke no Hebrew because it's the enemy's language and I'm not willing to speak their language. So I understood, if you live in Jerusalem, you have to learn Hebrew if you want to go to college, you want to work, you want to continue life. So I went to an ulpan, which is where newcomers come, and everyone in the class was Jewish except me. There were no Arabs in the class, a Jewish teacher, Jewish students, newcomers. And for the first time, I found myself in a different set of... I normally meet soldiers and settlers, and now I'm meeting people who just like me, which was very hard to accept. It was a long process how to even be willing to talk to these people. And I realized we just people, which was hard again to see. The stereotype I had was... Well, we human beings, but they not. We people who want to have peace and love, but they not. And they all soldiers, they all bad. And my teacher was the sweetest person ever I've met. The students were so nice. We found out we could go out, drink coffee together, and just joke together, study together, have the same interests, the same music, the same... You know, we had so much in common that it was so weird for me. It was something is... like 18 years old, I grew up believing something so sure, and at one moment I starting to figure out it's not, and it's the hardest thing you can go through, and everything in you fights to say no, that's not right, don't accept it. But if you're there for a few months, you eventually have to let it go and to accept what you're seeing. And that's when I start realizing that I do have a choice. I guess when I was 10 years old, I figured out there is no choice. That's the only thing I had to do is to avenge, is to find a way, is the hatred, is the bitterness. But when I was in that class, I realized I do have a choice over what I decide to do. Although someone decided to hit my brother or to kill him, it doesn't mean I'll have to do the same thing and respond. I can decide what to do with that action, whether to be like that person or to be a real human being who would take the accident and even use it in a different way for the good instead for the bad. So since then I started changing with a bit by bit my views, and I joined the parent circles about 2 years ago.
Tell me, did you expect soldiers to show up at your house, or was it something that was happening all the time?
Well, it was always scary to see soldiers. Coming to the houses, it was a few times that I can remember, mainly was to ask us if someone wrote something on the wall on our house. The soldiers would come and ask us to go and paint the wall so there's nothing against Israel is written on our wall, which would happen every once in a while. Or if someone threw stones at the soldiers sometimes in the main road, they'll come and take all the men out and investigate them for the night. But I didn't expect them to take him, to arrest him at that time. So
did you ever find out why they took him?
I don't know for sure, but there's Palestinian collaborators who would give information to the army, and a lot of times it can be even personal things. Like if I have a problem with you, I'll just go and say, oh, she throws stones, and you'll go to prison. But we don't really know if exactly that was the case or not.
So what was the process by which you actually went from what would have been revenge in your mind to reconciliation?
I think it starts with figuring out first, oh, not all of them are soldiers. And then you start talking to the people there and you start seeing we actually are the same. We just, first of all, human beings. there's no difference between us. Maybe sometimes a color, maybe sometimes a language, but we have the same blood color. We got the same taste of tears. It's all bitter. My belief, and that's why I go to schools to do lectures, is if you know who stands on the other side, it'll be harder for you to want to kill them, to want to hurt them, and you'll start feeling for them. You'll start having something like, now if a bomb goes on in Tel Aviv, I'll call these people and make sure they're okay. I'm not going to say, oh, well, who cares? Because I have friends there. So it becomes different.
And how did you end up going to the family circle or finding them even?
Actually started with my parents. They were invited by a member of the Families Forum who's a doctor of my mom. And so they decided to go only because he's the doctor who treated her for years, and they felt bad not going. So they went to the first couple meetings. Then one night they had a big meeting, the Seven Arches in the Mount of Olives, where 100 families met there, and each one shared his story and what they went through and how they joined the family circle. And so when they came back, my mom especially was in tears, and she told me she found people who are as crazy as I am, so I'd be interested in joining. And I went to their office and I liked it, so decided to join.
As crazy as you are?
Yeah, kind of. Because she viewed everything I thought as a crazy. To go and meet the other side, she didn't understand how can I trust them. And only when she went and was able to see that, you know, one of the things she told me is like, I didn't think the Jewish mother would have the same pain as the Arab mother. And that's the same thing the Israelis think as well. You know, in lectures when I go, they tell me normally, Arab women are happy when their kids are dying because they send their kids to throw stones, and like, it's never true. Even if you see it on TV, it's never true. There's some cultural things into, you have to look strong and powerful in front of the TV camera and in front of people. But mother is a mother everywhere. There's nothing genetics that's different about the Jewish and Arab or Christian or whatever mother. And the same with the Palestinians. I've heard more than once Palestinians who say, I didn't think Jewish mothers have feelings. And if they did, why they send their children to the army? It's all the same circle. Well, we dehumanize the other side, and then we think, well, it's okay then to hurt them because they're not a human. But actually, a change is possible.
What are your feelings about Israeli-Palestinian reconciliation? Email us at radio@marynoll.org or go to our website, www.voicesofourworld.org. Just click on Contact Us. You can call us at 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. Well, that's all for this week, and thanks for listening. Ronnie Hershenson and Aziz Sarah are just two of the voices of our world. This week's show was produced by Eleanor Ostrinsky, and I'm your host, Eileen Bott. Our website is www.voicesofourworld.org, where you can listen, learn more about today's guests and topics, answer our weekly question, or subscribe to our podcast. Please go to www.voicesofourworld.org. To learn more about Mary Knoll or to try Mary Knoll magazine in English or Spanish, call 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. And please join us next time for more Voices of Our World.